National security concerns are threatening a massive cable project that would link the U.S. and China, and that's backed by big tech companies, including Google and Facebook.
Team Telecom sends the signal now that actually we're no longer okay with these types of projects going between the U.S. and China or its territories. That could have a huge impact on these companies and just on internet users.
Plus, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson moves to suspend Parliament. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to those stories, here are some other top headlines we're following today. Dorian strengthened to a hurricane on Wednesday as it heads towards the eastern coast of Puerto Rico. The National Hurricane Center reported that as of midday, the storm's maximum sustained winds had reached 75 miles an hour. National Weather Service meteorologist Roberto Garcia said the island's main concern is heavy rain, which could lead to flooding and landslides, as well as strong winds that could become more significant for the islands of Vieques and Culebra. The threat comes just 2 years after Hurricane Maria devastated Puerto Rico. President Trump has approved an emergency declaration for the island. Rival parties have reached a deal to form a new government in Italy, a week after Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte resigned as prime minister. The deal, for now, staves off snap elections. The Wall Street Journal's Eric Silvers has more from Milan.
When the government fell earlier this month, it looked like there would have to be new elections, which probably would have been held in November. But then, much to the surprise of almost everybody, two parties that had been hurling insults at each other for the better part of a decade started negotiating to see if they could find a deal to govern together. This was odd for a few reasons. One of those parties, the Five Star Movement, came into being 10 years ago expressly to contrast the Democratic Party, which it now finds as its partner. They seem to be strange bedfellows for various reasons. Chief among them is that the Five Star is an upstart anti-establishment party that has sought to shake everything up, while the center-left Democratic Party is basically as establishment as you can get. There were many sticking points as the two sides negotiated this past week. Prime among them was that Five Star wanted the outgoing Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte to have the same post in the new government. The Democrats wanted a new prime minister as a sign of a break with the past, but they had to give in on that point. As the government takes shape, the main loser appears to be the far-right nativist Matteo Salvini, who is the head of a party called the League. The League was in an uneasy alliance with Five Star until Salvini pulled the plug earlier this month, hoping to cash in on his current popularity. The League is far and away the most popular party at the moment, but it looks like Salvini at this point is going to be off in the wilderness running the opposition for some time.
Italy's new government faces several challenges, including a deadline to submit a draft budget to the European Union in mid-October. The country is also struggling with massive debt, currently the highest proportionately after Greece among Eurozone nations. Federal agents have searched the home of United Auto Workers President Gary Jones, as well as the home of the union's previous president, Dennis Williams. The FBI has been conducting a multi-year criminal investigation into alleged corruption in the union's top ranks that so far resulted in charges against nine people. The union represents nearly 150,000 factory workers at Fiat Chrysler, General Motors, and Ford. In a statement, the union says it has fully cooperated with the investigation and that there's no need for the government to use search warrants. And now, a Wall Street Journal exclusive. Our reporters found that national security concerns could jeopardize a massive undersea cable project that would link Los Angeles and Hong Kong. Google, Facebook, and a Chinese partner have already sunk hundreds of millions of dollars into it. For more details, our Charlie Turner spoke with reporter Kate O'Keefe in Washington.
Kate, this project is called the Pacific Light Cable Network. What company is building it?
There's a Hong Kong company that's similarly named called Pacific Light Data Communication Company that's building this cable. And the project is majority owned by a Beijing-based telecom operator, which is called Dr. Peng Telecom and Media Group. And Google and Facebook are major investors in the project.
Who is raising concerns about the project? You describe it as an opaquely run group of American agencies that provides national security recommendations to the FCC.
Right. That's our definition for Team Telecom. So the concerns about this project are coming from that team, which is an ad hoc interagency group that advises the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, on license applications involving telecommunications matters. For background, the FCC has always deferred to this Team Telecom group. So when they make a recommendation, it's a really extremely important part of the process. And in this case, the Department of Justice, which is actually the lead agency for Team Telecom, is the agency that's raised the staunchest objections to this particular cable project so far. And some other key players on the team include the Pentagon and also the Department of Homeland Security. But we're a little bit less clear on what their views are of this project at this time.
What exactly are they worried about? Is it the cable's Chinese investor?
Well, that's part of it. I mean, there's basically two main concerns that we're aware of. One is the Chinese government links that this company called Dr. Peng has. And the other is just the fact that this cable would provide a direct link to Hong Kong, which is a Chinese territory. So in terms of Dr. Peng, the majority owner of this cable project, not a household name here, but it's actually China's fourth biggest telecom operator. And although it's a private telecommunications company, it does have many links to China's government, which is the case with many Chinese companies, frankly. So Dr. Peng's chairman is a former Shenzhen government official, and its subsidiaries have worked on a bunch of projects with Chinese government entities. One of them was building a fiber optic surveillance network for Beijing's police. The other aspect of the concern here from Team Telecom is the decreasing autonomy of the Chinese territory of Hong Kong, which is where the cable would land. So Hong Kong is a special administrative region of China, which has always enjoyed many more freedoms than the rest of China. And pro-democracy protesters there have been having huge rallies for months protesting Beijing's efforts to integrate Hong Kong more closely with the mainland. So in the past, a link to Hong Kong would have actually been viewed as more secure potentially than a link to mainland China. But that distinction is actually becoming less relevant by the day in the view of these U.S. security regulators.
And I would think that the backdrop for this is the trade battles that are going on between the U.S. and China, including all the tariffs that have been going back and forth.
I mean, yeah, there's just such an array of interlinked conflicts going on between the U.S. and China. I mean, trade and economics is one part of it. I mean, there's also interlinked concerns with economics and national security, where you see, you know, arguments over IP theft, you know, China's hacking, things like that. And there's just a general, very broad concern from U.S. government officials about China's technological ambitions. And I'd say the best example of that we've seen so far is the U.S. government's extreme efforts to prevent Huawei, which is China's major telecom company, from expanding all over the world due to concerns that it would be basically a tool of the Chinese government.
This is sort of a double question, Kate. Does Team Telecom, led by the Justice Department, have enough clout to kill this project?
Definitely.
And if it's killed, you know, would this be the first time that the U.S. has denied one of these cable licenses because of national security concerns?
Yes. So first of all, they do have enough clout to effectively kill the project. I mean, the official final decision maker is the FCC, but the FCC has always deferred to whatever Team Telecom has recommended. So if they end up saying this is not okay, then it's likely the FCC would agree with them and block the project. And if they do that, that would be the first time that Team Telecom has ever denied an undersea cable license on the basis of national security concerns. You know, that could just have a host of implications. I mean, it could suggest that Team Telecom has a totally new stance, basically, now on China projects, because in the past, they've actually approved a bunch of projects that link the U.S. and mainland China, so not even Hong Kong, and also that involve state-owned Chinese telecom operators. And in this case, as I mentioned, Dr. Peng is technically a private company.
How important is the cable to companies like Facebook and Google? I imagine this is going to be sending an untold amount of data.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty important. I mean, just, you know, cost alone, this project would cost at least $300 million to build, we're told. But I think more importantly for big companies like that who've got deep pocketbooks, they're just trying to find ways to handle this exploding amount of network traffic that's going between the U.S. and Asia. There's just so much demand, which is why they've been furiously building these cables over the past decade. And so if Team Telecom sends the signal now that actually we're no longer okay with these types of projects going between the U.S. and China or its territories, that could have a huge impact on these companies and just on internet users.
That's The Wall Street Journal's Kate O'Keefe speaking with Charlie Turner. For the full story, please head to our website, WSJ.com or the WSJ app. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has moved to shut down Parliament for several weeks in what's being viewed as a tactic to prevent lawmakers from blocking a no-deal Brexit. The move is drawing sharp criticism. The Wall Street Journal's Max Colchester has more from London.
There's been wide-scale opposition announced from various quarters, including within Boris Johnson's own Conservative Party, with the former Chancellor of the Exchequer saying that the move was undemocratic. The Speaker of the House of Commons has also said that the move is undemocratic. And the main criticism is that as Britain ramps up to this tumultuous moment where it finally leaves the EU, Parliament should be sitting so that it can debate and scrutinise the government's decisions. And so some argue that what Boris Johnson is doing here is quite cynical. He's just trying to stop lawmakers causing trouble so that he can push through with his agenda for Brexit, which is entirely dependent on the UK leaving the EU come hell or high water on October 31st.
British lawmakers return from vacation next week.
When they come back, these lawmakers effectively have about 5 days in which to try to pass laws to effectively block Brexit from happening on October 31st. And they can do this by passing a law which would effectively force Boris Johnson to go back to the EU and ask for an extension of Brexit past the end of October, which is something they managed to do with the last Prime Minister, Theresa May, and they were successful there, so they could repeat that. The other option they have is to force a no-confidence vote in Mr. Johnson's government, which would entail potentially with fresh elections.
The British pound also fell on Wednesday and was down nearly 1% against the U.S. dollar and the euro. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.